From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome in the Savior's name to our gospel broadcast. I'm glad you're joining us today, and here to Let the Bible Speak is the Reverend John Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Curran. It is my great privilege to come once more to bring God's precious word. And here we are at the beginning of another year, and we want to thank all our listeners who have been tuning in a consistent fashion over the year that has gone by. And I pray that the Lord's word, as we consider it today and in weeks ahead, will be of great blessing to you. We could enter into the new year in no better way than by giving heed to what the Lord would say to our hearts. And it is my prayer that you will tune in week by week, and that God's truth will come with freshness and with blessing to your soul. As we think about a new year and what it may bring, my mind was turned to that great passage in Matthew 5, where we have what are commonly called the Beatitudes. This passage in Matthew 5 belongs to what is known as the Sermon on the Mount, a sermon preached by Christ and contained in Matthew chapters 5 to 7. I would like to say that the Sermon on the Mount is perhaps the most misinterpreted portion of the Word of God because of a misunderstanding of these opening verses that are found here in Matthew 5 from verse 1 down to verse 12, in which we have, as we've noted already, the Beatitudes. Many theories have grown up around these verses, and we want just to think about what the Lord is saying here in the Beatitudes, both today and in some of the weeks that lie ahead in the will of the Lord. We should underline to begin with that they are addressed, these Beatitudes, to the disciples, as verses 1 and 2 so clearly show. No doubt there were others present, but the disciples were addressed. It says in verse 1, "On seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." And here is a basic fact about the Beatitudes. They were addressed to those who already were followers of Christ, to those who already were truly Christians. So whether we take the Sermon on the Mount as a whole, or the Beatitudes here in particular, we find that they are teachings coming from the lips of Christ for those who belong to Him. Now the purpose of the Sermon on the Mount is twofold. First of all, to show what a Christian really is, and secondly, to show how a Christian is to live in this world. The section that presents to us what a true Christian actually is found here in these verses where the Beatitudes lie. The fact that these verses are describing the character of a true Christian is seen in some of the terms that are employed, some of the things the believer possesses and will possess. For example, notice in verses 3 and 10 that they are said to possess the kingdom of heaven. It says, "Theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We should underline that they already possess it. That is the sense of the language. "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." They already have entitlement to the kingdom of heaven, and that is the possession of someone who is truly a child of God. Verse 5 then says that they shall inherit the earth, and that is still part of the possession of the true believer, their eternal possession, in fact, because the Bible tells us in 2 Peter that God's people look for new heavens and a new earth and are going to inherit such. Then in verse 8 it is said that these people shall see God. And surely that is the great and blessed anticipation of the believer. Through Christ, God's people will see God. They will see his face. They shall see the King in all his beauty. And then in verse 9, the Lord says of those who are these blessed ones, that they shall be called the children of God. In other words, the day comes when the Lord will publicly recognize these people as his own, his people, his seed. And he will say, "Behold, I am the children which God hath given me." And that will be the privilege of those who are genuine Christians and will be their privilege only. So this passage is truly describing real Christians, true believers. Every characteristic mentioned marks the child of God. And all believers have these characteristics. It is not that some believers are poor in spirit or meek and others are not, that some are pure in heart or merciful and others aren't. No, all these features belong to every child of God. These qualities are really the fruit of the Spirit in the believer, and all of them are the possession of all believers without exception, though it may be in different degrees and in different stages of development. Now, the striking matter that is to be noted in this catalogue of features of the true Christian is the word blessed, which simply means happy. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn," and so on. And the word, as I say, means happy. But it is happiness in the truest and the highest sense of happiness. Notice that it is the Son of God himself who is speaking here about happiness, making this passage exceedingly impressive and gripping in what it has to say about the subject of being happy. In these first 12 verses, therefore, of Matthew 5, we have a view of genuine happiness. 9 times the Lord says, "Blessed are," or "happy are." Such a use of language is designed to cause the reader and the hearer of this passage to pause and to recognize that the Lord is giving a presentation of happiness that is genuine. When Christ pronounces what genuine happiness is, then what he says should be given the most careful attention. Happy is the man who has the happiness of which the Lord speaks in these verses. But how miserable is the man who lacks this real happiness of which the Lord speaks, because he is the man who is under the curse of God and is destined for eternal ruin. Now notice here that in his description of the truly happy life, the Lord reveals the essential difference that there is between the believer and the unbeliever. As we already noted in this passage, Christ is describing the real Christian. Furthermore, in what he says, he reveals the difference, the distinction that is between believers and unbelievers. Now this is a fundamental New Testament truth. Between genuine believers and all others, there is an intrinsic difference. The Lord says of his people in John 17, "They are not of the world." This is a very clear statement, a very authoritative statement. They are not of the world. The Lord is saying there is a distinction between the saved and the unsaved, a distinction that is really comprised of the fact that believers are like Christ, because he goes on to say, "Even as I am not of the world." Now what a difference there is between Christ and the ungodly. And there are many, many scriptures that underline that fact. The Lord is totally unlike the ungodly. It is the Father's will, therefore, that his people are to be like Christ, and they are not to be like the world. They are to be conformed to the image of Christ, as Romans 8, verse 29 says. So there is a distinction between the saved and the unsaved. There is a line of demarcation between the believer and the unbeliever, in that the true believer is being conformed to the image of Christ, is being changed into that image. So how happy is the man who has been brought out of the world of the ungodly and is separated unto the gospel? How happy is the life that is lived in accordance with God's word and God's will? To be made by grace to be different in the spiritual sense is to enter into a genuinely happy life. There are different features of this difference between the believer and the unbeliever emphasized here by Christ in these Beatitudes. Notice that there's a difference in attitude toward self. It says in verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." To be poor in spirit is to see oneself as having no merit or no spiritual value whatsoever. It denotes the recognition of a fallen state, complete unworthiness. But the unsaved do not have that attitude toward self. They do not recognize that they are poor in spirit. Rather, their attitude is that they have great self-worth, they have great self-value, and they're characterized by boastfulness, by self-confidence, by self-assertion. The unbeliever never sees himself as God sees him, and therefore his attitude towards self is not this: blessed are the poor in spirit. Then there's a difference in his attitude towards sin. Blessed are they that mourn. And this is mourning over sin. It is that genuine sorrow that the believer feels when he looks at himself honestly. He knows his heart. He laments its condition. And he therefore grieves over his sin. But the unsaved man sees nothing in himself but what he thinks he can admire. And he sees no fault, no blemish, no spot, nothing over which he should mourn, no corruption, no guilt. And therefore, there is this difference in attitude towards sin. There's also a difference in attitude toward stance. Blessed are the meek. And meekness is the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:23. It is one of the chief marks of likeness to Jesus Christ. For the Lord says in Matthew 11:29, "I am meek and lowly in heart." You see, meekness is a humility. It's to cease oneself as being a mere creature dependent on God, stripped of all self-sufficiency and all self-reliance. And again, that's something that doesn't appeal to the carnal mind. The unsaved man does not have this meekness. So, there are many differences between the saved and the unsaved, and I trust you will see that today, and that you will realize your need of Christ, and you will seek Him with all your heart.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we're on air here each weekday morning, Monday to Friday. So, do remember to join us at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.